بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الكريم. Continue reading from فضائل الأعمال من حديث شيخ الحديث مولانا محمد زكريا السوكاندلوي رحمة الله عليه. Hadith number 29. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri رضي الله تعالى عنه says, once I was sitting with a group of poor muhajirin who did not even have enough clothes to cover their whole bodies. Therefore, some of them were hiding themselves behind others. One of them was reading the glorious Quran. Suddenly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and stood near us. When he came, the reader stopped reading. He greeted us and asked what we were doing. We replied that we were listening to the Quran. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, all praises for Allah ta'ala, who has created such people in my ummah that I have been ordered to stay with them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat with us. He then asked us to get closer to him. All of us sat facing him. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O you poor muhajirin, I give you good news of a perfect light on the day of Qiyamah, and you shall enter Jannah before the wealthy people by half a day, and this half day will be equal to 500 years. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, once I was sitting with a group of poor muhajirin, who did not even have enough clothes to cover their whole bodies. Therefore, some of them were hiding themselves behind others. One of them was reading the glorious Quran. Suddenly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and stood near us. When he came, the reader stopped reading. He greeted us and asked what we were doing. We replied that we were listening to the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said, all praises for Allah ta'ala, who has created such people in my ummah that I have been ordered to stay with them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat with us. He then asked us to get closer to him. All of us sat facing him. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O you poor muhajirin, I give you good news of a perfect light on the day of Qiyamah. And you shall enter Jannah before the wealthy people by half a day. And this half day will be equal to 500 years. The muhajirin did not have enough clothes to cover their bodies. This means that they only had clothes to cover their satr, their private parts, their private areas, and not more than that. However, in front of other people, we feel shy to open other parts of the body as well. For example, the stomach. This is why they were sitting behind one another. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had seen one of them reading the Quran, he still asked them what they had been doing. This was to show that he was happy with them. The rewards of the Quran, the rewards of reading the Quran, are given in many ahadith. Similarly, the rewards for listening to the Quran are also found in many ahadith. Listening to the Quran is so rewarding that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had been ordered to stay with them. Continue reading from Mu'asharat, Islamic Social Etiquette. We will start reading today from Etiquette of Istinja, Purification After Relieving Oneself. Number one, after utilizing the toilet, ensure that the cistern is properly flushed and that no trace of a person's urine or stool remains. If the effects of stool are in the pan, they should be washed away before flushing. Always remember that you are not the only one using the toilet at home, the masjid, or even at the workplace. One should ensure that he leaves the toilet clean as he would like to find the toilet. Number two, try using an eastern toilet squat pan as far as possible. However, if one is forced to use a western pan toilet, then ensure that the seat is not messed. If it does get messed, then ensure that it is cleaned before leaving the toilet. Number three, if there are any air fresheners in the toilet, they should be utilized. At least the window should be open so that any foul smell can be removed. Do not smoke in the toilet as the fumes will inconvenience others. Number four, after using the toilet, ensure that the area around the toilet is also kept clean. Do not allow too much of water to remain on the outside as this will cause inconvenience to the next person. Many toilets have a toilet brush for cleaning the inside of the toilet bowl after using the toilet. Always check whether you need to use it. Don't leave it for someone else to clean up after you. When leaving the toilet, try getting rid of the excess water under one's feet either by wiping one's feet on a mat if provided or by stamping one's feet on the ground gently. Number five, don't take much time in the toilet when others are waiting to use the toilet as well, especially where there is only one toilet available. Avoid using cell phones in the toilets as this causes one to spend extra time in the toilet. Number six, Always knock first if the toilet appears to be occupied. Number 7. In many places, especially the masjid toilets, people do not press the flush button with their hands but use their shoes, which may be carrying impurities. One should abstain from such practices and always consider the next person. If one is not comfortable touching the handle of the cistern, he should use toilet paper to touch it. Number 8. If one is going on a journey, he should ensure that he relieves himself just before departing. Number 9. If one is forced to stop during the journey, then the following points should be kept in mind. A. Do not relieve oneself along the road or under the shade of a tree. People taking rest there will be highly inconvenient. B. Do not urinate in stagnant water, even if abundant. C. Do not relieve oneself in a hole in the ground, for perhaps there is a poisonous animal there which may emerge. D. Go far away from the gazes of people and be as concealed as possible whilst relieving oneself. E. Do not face the Qibla, nor let one's back face the Qibla. This also applies when one is in the toilet. Do not face the sun, the moon, or pass water against the wind. F. Do not pass water in such a way that the urine splashes against you. G. Ensure that water is always kept in one's vehicle for such emergencies. H. Take a small spade along to dig a hole so that the waste and toilet paper can be covered. Do not allow mess toilet paper to blow around in the bush.
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. We were discussing of how to make our rosas valuable. The one point which ulama write about, which we have read in the kitab, we have heard also, and Mufti Muhammad Desai just discussed it also quite a bit. But muzakara is always beneficial for all. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, the person who speaks also, he also benefits because his ears are the closest. And in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That remind. A reminder is always beneficial for the believers. So when you speak, you're also a believer, and your ears are the closest. So you are also hearing, and the more we make muzakara, the more we benefit. So the one point which ulama write about that we should always keep in mind is our tongue. They keep roza of the tongue. And there are many aspects of it. Before coming to that, we should see how Allah Ta'ala has protected our tongue. When the child was in the womb of the mother, after about 4 months, life came in the child. And now the child need nourishment, food. But Allah has made the system such that one side, Allah made the umbilical cord joined to the navel of the child. And a child birth, that is what has to be cut. And then the umbilical cord is knotted and put back there, and then the child comes into this world. That is basically what has to be done. So one, that arrangement. The other arrangement, the nourishment of the food which Allah made after 4 months about life comes in the child. Now it needs nourishment, it needs food. Allah made it the monthly menses of the mother. And because that is dirty, filth, so Allah made it not to go through the mouth, that the tongue becomes impure. Allah kept it that it goes directly into the stomach from the navel. There are 2 reasons. One is Allah Ta'ala kept the tongue pure. Because the tongue, really, as parents we should note this, when children come in the world, then it is our duty also to see that they keep their tongues pure. How many times parents teach them to lie also? When we, as the mother or the father, we lie in front of the children, they know it. They also feel they can lie. It's nothing wrong. Whatever goes around in society, a person gets overtaken by anything. This is the norm. And what is the actual thing? We don't think about that. The other is, why did Allah Ta'ala keep that filthy blood as the nourishment for the child? There are many points. One point is, that don't think that you are very great somebody. Look from where Allah has made you. what your origin was, no matter where you reach, but always remember what your origin was. It is said of the slave Ayaz, who was in the court of Mahmud Ghaznavi, rahmatullah alayh, that he became a favorite of the king, and the other courtiers became jealous of him. So they told the king that he steals from the state treasury at night. He was so much trusted that he was given the key of the state treasury also. So he said, it's impossible. I know Mahmud, I know Ayaz. He's a very, very loyal slave, very good person. He said, then we can check what our, we can come. We'll hide away somewhere, and you'll see, middle of the night, he goes and he opens the safe. So Abad, they hid away and he went. So they say, you see, he say, let us see what he's actually doing there. Why is he gone in the safe? When they checked up, he had his old clothes when he was a slave. Now he was in the royal palace, wearing the clothes, the robes of a person who is in the palace. But then he should take out his old clothes, and he says, oh Ayaz, never forget those days of yours. That where you were at one time, today Allah has given you this honor, and now you are a very close person to the king, but don't forget those days. So all of us, and in many aspects, never forget our parents, even to, if they may be still poor or something, Allah has put us somewhere, but don't forget them. And in fact, if we are revert and our parents are not Muslims still, don't forget them also. Show them Islami akhlaq and try and win them over. Make nasihat to them. Win them over. Allah brought us into the light of iman. We must be always not that they are kafirs now. We just leave them non-believers. No, we have that concern for them also. In the same way, our ustaz who taught us alif ba ta sa, to never forget them also. Today you might be not only in learning Bukhari Sharif, you may be teaching Bukhari Sharif. But don't forget that ustad who taught you your alif ba ta sa. And don't forget your mother also. She was the one who used to clean your nappies, wash you, clean you. So don't forget any of the elderly, the old people. Don't forget our beginnings. Even when a person, if he was poor, and he lived like that, don't forget those days. Think of them, then we think of the other poor people also. So this is very, very important. So Allah Ta'ala, He made us from that. And so don't forget our origin, what we are. So Allah Ta'ala kept the tongue pure and clean. Because Allah meant this tongue is going to take the name of Allah. He's going to take, going to recite Quran Sharif, Durood Sharif on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What and what honorable, pure, great things going to come on this tongue. So we must keep it pure. And for our children also, we should teach them. And really, this is tarbiyat of children, which is a very important factor, but unfortunately, we neglect it very, very much. We just think it's our duty to give the children clothes, food, and bring, grow them up. Much more important than that is their akhlaq, their mental condition. We speak to them, make their zihin up. That is much more important. And what we put into their heart, in fact, to this extent, Haji Farooq Saab, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say that Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, said that if mother and father meet in a room and a child is sleeping in the same room, 100% halal and jaiz, but it will have an effect on the child. So our behavior in the house, how we talk, how we behave, etc., it will have a great, great effect on the child. Many times, for example, the father or the mother will tell the child, when daddy asks, you must just tell him this. It's a lie. And you're teaching the child to lie. Or to swear. How we might be surprised. But at one place, at a shop, I heard the mother telling the child, swear him like this. Swear this person like this. They take it as a joke, very lightheartedly. But all that where the tongue is spoiled like this. So we have to look after the tongue. And in the shariats of before also, there was a roza of not speaking. Inni nazartu li rahmani sawman falan ukallima al-yawma insiya. That made a roza for Allah, so I won't speak to anyone. So no speaking, roza also was kept. And if a person doesn't speak the halal jaiz things, inshallah he'll stay away from haram the whole life. Whole year and whole life. In the Khanqahs, There was one person, it's written in Fadail Amal, he went to the Sheikh for his Islah, and he had a habit of speaking a lot. So the Sheikh told him that take a board and put it here and hang it from your neck. I'm not allowed to speak to anyone. So everyone can see he's not allowed to speak. So then that gets cut out. In the Khanqa of Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, it is said people used to stay there for one chilla, three chillas, 4 months in that one room of theirs. And during that four months, one chilla, 40 days, at the end they wouldn't know perhaps even one another's names. They wouldn't know their addresses, phone numbers. Today we, in the first meeting, we know the whole history of the other person. That from where you come, what you do, etc. But they came for a maqsad, a purpose for the islah. And the whole focus was on that there. So this is very important. We're just getting into conversations, into talks, etc. These are harmful. And also for security purposes, like in Jamaat, we are taught that anyone asks you for your address, etc., give the markaz address. So don't give your personal address. You don't know what can be behind everything else also. So anyway, there's too much of contact with one another. And here, as when we've come for our islah, this is one point which the buzurgs from before, they should say a person must minimize it, to speak and to socialize, to mix with people. What is necessary, is necessary. Visiting the sick, attending a janazah, all that is necessary. But just visiting your friends, your family also, keeping in touch with your neighbors, is all necessary. But too much socializing, mixing all the time, this is very harmful for a person. So a person mustn't mix so much. When we, even in the masjid, we come for our namazes, and when we are here, after namaz, Allah, here in namaz, this is the markaz of the nur which is distributed here. Every masjid, Allah Ta'ala's nur is distributed. Barakat and rahmat is distributed. And whoever comes takes his share from here. But when we go out, for example, there's kitab reading, we say that it takes too long. When we don't want to sit. But outside we go and stand and talk, and how much time we waste there. And that we don't think. And then if you sit for kitab reading, you'll get more nur and barakat. But this outside talking there on the pavement outside, that is, we lose everything. It's like a person who did business, he did good business. And now he's taking the money he made, he's going home with it, he's going to buy things, everything. But he stands with some crooks outside. And then they rob him of that money. So everything he earned, he lost it. When he comes home, nothing he's got. So like that, he had a ruhaniyat. And one time, Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Sahib, Damat Barakatum, says he had a dream, or his wife had a dream. His wife had a dream that whenever he comes from Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali's majlis, he brings a plate, a tray, or plate of food for her. So he asked Hazrat the interpretation of the dream. Hazrat said, it's quite clear. Here you come, you all the ruhaniyat, anwar, blessings, rahmat which you get, that is, you are taking and you go home. From here we learn another lesson also, that especially as men, and there are many women also, when men come from the masjid, they ask them, what was the bayan about? What was the talk about? So that interest must be there from their side also. And we also, when we go home, then narrate what we heard in the bayan. By making that muzakara, ours will become more stronger. We will remember more. But we don't make any muzakara, then in the house also, they don't, what we heard in the bayan, etc., we don't mention it at home. So we are different species, and they are different species. How are we going to come on one level? So these things we should sit and talk. So we hear many times some good examples in a bayan, some good points. Go home and speak about it. And the house people, they should also ask to show that interest, that what was spoken about today. So, like for example, the tafsir we have in the morning, Tarjuma, Quran Sharif. So one family, they always used to ask, the husband told me, that what was today the tafsir? So he said, I can't sleep in the tafsir in the morning, because I'm going to be questioned about it. When I go home, immediately they're going to ask me what he, those days were not all the receiver system and all that, a person's online streaming and all that, there wasn't all that. So a person had to listen very carefully. And in that, ours become strong also. And our Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayk, used to say that when you hear something of need, mention it to 10 people. So you have made tabligh of it also to 10 people, and yours is going to become strong. You'll remember it. And by repeating it, you will get the tawfiq of making amal on it also. So always let us try and do that. Make this muzakara here also. If we do talk, talk about deen, talk about what we learned, etc. I didn't understand this point. You, what was it? Like in the class, students, one student says, I didn't understand. Another student then tells him, they make muzakara. They revise their lesson. So here also we should revise. That is how we benefit a lot. So inshallah we'll speak a little bit about the tongue as we carry on. That what harms there in the tongue. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he held the tongue, isn't it this that will land so many people into Jahannam? So how careful we should be with our tongue. But today, without any thought, we just use our tongue anyway. May Allah Ta'ala let us learn. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. We have to learn to speak also correctly. When we speak correctly. And many other ayat of the Quran Sharif and the Hadith, and we see Buzurgani Deen, that how they control their tongue. So this is a very important, and this is the time. When we are keeping rozas, and it's the month of Ramadan, and we have come here, is to learn this, how to control our tongue. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.